Hello, Gems. Welcome to another episode of TRs in Tech. I'm your host, Shelley Benhoff, and today I'm talking to Phoebe Young, and she is the founder of Doggy Day, which is an app to help connect local dog owners. We talked about her journey in tech, how she built her app with no prior knowledge of coding, and her tips on being an entrepreneur. Without further ado, on to the episode. Hey, Phoebe, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Shelley.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I love your app and everything. So let's just jump right in and have you tell us your tech story.
Yeah, so let me just introduce myself. My name is Phoebe, and I'm the founder of Doggy Day. So what Doggy Day is we are a new tech-empowered way of providing dog care by connecting dogs with dog-loving neighbors. So that owners, when they need help with somebody to wash their dogs, they can call up their neighbor. And for all the dog-loving people, they get to hang out with a dog without burden of ownership. And to your question, how I got started in tech, it really came out of necessity. It's really to build out Doggy Day. I don't have a technical background. I kind of started building out the website with HTML, which I learned a really, really long time ago as a teenager. So I kind of got that part down. But then when it came time to build out the real stuff, like processes and kind of automation stuff, I was talking to my software engineer friend, and he was just like, why don't you just do it yourself? Because before that, I've hired a freelancer. I've worked with a tech agency. It just didn't quite come out how I wasn't quite happy with how it came out, and not to mention it wasn't cheap.
Yes.
So that's when my friend was like, just do it yourself. It's not that hard. That's what he said. Famous last words. But no, like that's how I kind of got started. Whenever I want to build something, I would describe to him like what I want to build, and then he'll just point me to the right direction. A lot of times that's sending me specific threads on Stack Overflow, YouTube videos, or tell me exactly what I need to Google so I can learn, basically, so I can learn on the job. So that this is how I got into tech. It's just a lot of questions to my one friend, a lot of trial and error, copy and pasting, and like I said, learning on the job.
Yeah, that is amazing, because there are so many people that like really think, oh, I have to have a degree, I have to study, you know, programming specifically. Let me tell you something. When I went to school, programming is all I learned. But when I got out of school, all of the languages had changed. So it didn't matter what I learned in school, because all of a sudden it was like ASP Classic was out. I'm old, but you know, it was stuff like that. And so it doesn't matter if you have that education. It didn't help me that much, honestly. Maybe with like, what is it called? Like the architecture type stuff. But again, like that was so old. That's all changed now too. So it doesn't matter. Yeah.
I mean, two things I'll add to it. One is I always remind myself whenever I was like, oh, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. This is way above my pay grade. And I was like, wait, teenagers do this too. Like, I mean, I have a little bit more education than a teenager, right? I can do this. And second thing is, now that ChatGPT is out, like there is just so much more, such a big resource to go to.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no reason why you can't just ask ChatGPT, hey, can you come up with some codes for me?
Right? Yeah. It's great. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because this morning my husband was like, so talk to me about this ChatGPT thing. How do I use it? And I showed him, and he was just like, I hate that I love this, you know, but it's really useful.
New world.
So let's talk about your app and all of that. What inspired you to take this leap, create an app? It's amazing. And be an entrepreneur and pretty much a one-woman shop, it sounds like.
It is. You're looking at Doggy Day, all of it. It really started when I moved back to New York City in 2018. I was moving back home, so I was like, oh, I'm going to get a dog now. But then I also quickly realized with my work schedule and my travel at that time, like I would have to pay a small fortune every month for someone else to take care of my dog, yeah. basically. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a part-time dog walker. But then again, with my schedule and my availability, like the timing and logistics just never worked out. So I never walked a dog. And basically I did what any frustrated consumer would do. I just sit and wait for someone to do something like Doggy Day, connect me with other people who might let me walk their dog. And then, and I still remember this evening. So one night I was out at happy hour with my coworkers. I was telling them about this idea I have, like, I'm just waiting for someone to like connect me with other dog owners. And they were all like, why don't you just do it? Just do it. And I was like, you're right. Why don't I just do it? Why do I have to wait for someone else to do it? And so I still remember that evening on my way home, I called my now husband. I was like, all right, just so you know, I'm going to do this. And so it all took off from there.
That's fantastic. That's called tenacity. I love that. And like apps that, you know, I talk to a lot of founders, and really the best apps that really take off are the ones where you had a problem, nobody else was solving it, and so you solved it, you yeah. know? So I think that you're positioned really well. I just want to yeah. let you know that.
My mate, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, what is the hardest part of being an entrepreneur?
Where do I start, right? I think one of the most common frustrations I feel is kind of how slow I'm going. I feel like a lot of times, with coding, for example, I feel like things I would have to work on for a week, maybe it would take a more experienced developer half a day to do it, for example. Or even with a lot of, because again, I'm just more or less a one-woman show, like if I'm working on one thing, I can't work on the other. So obviously that has to wait till another day to finish. I'm always frustrated about how slow I'm going. But one thing I remember, so I still remember reading this, was, I think it was Martin Luther King who said that, don't quote me on it, but it was like, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. So that's why I keep reminding myself, as long as I'm crawling, I'm going forward bit by bit. And I just keep going at that pace if I have to.
Yeah, I love that quote. I think for anybody listening to this that is into old sci-fi shows, that was referenced in Firefly. So
yeah. I didn't know that.
That is a deep cut. If anybody listening to this like knows that episode, you're my best friend. So yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about how you had no tech experience before you created an app on your own. What were your hardest struggles? Or what are your hardest struggles?
Again, where do I even start? I think a big part of it is almost psychological. You just feel like you'll never be able to figure this out, and then you just give it enough time, you will. And I think another thing is you got to know when you need to ask for help and when it is that you just got to keep going at it. Like I said, my friend who is a software engineer, I can't expect him to write, you know, pages and pages of code for me. So I need to really be think about what it is that I need from him. So I think knowing when to ask for help, also how to ask for help, is what I took away from it.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. What like languages and all
it's
that
pretty,
are you using?
Pretty element. What I'm coding is pretty elementary. I'm doing most of it in PHP and JavaScript.
That's not elementary. Don't discount yourself. That's a lot. Like, yeah, I've tried to learn PHP. I use like WordPress and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I spent my career in C#, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So there's really no correlation between those two.
Yeah. I feel like PHP is also easier for a beginner too. And
yeah.
That's
yeah. Yeah, actually, PHP was probably more like ASP Classic. if anybody listening remembers that. Yeah, that was, you know, early 2000s. Yeah, but it was kind of like, because the architecture, it was like your writing sort of logical code and then HTML, like in that same file, which is completely different than what I was doing okay, otherwise with all the Microsoft tools. But yeah, that's really cool that you learned all of that. I mean, that's hard. You should congratulate yourself.
I mean, one thing is, I did have a little bit of a leg up because my background before Doggy Day was in data. So I was very familiar with SQL.
Cool.
Even before that with VBA. So I kind of understand the logic of coding. I understand how do I structure the codes. Yeah. I just don't know the language or what the capabilities are.
Right.
Again, which was easy. Then it was real easier for my friend to just tell me these are the languages and the snippets.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned VB. That's how I started too.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I started out automating like office applications in like Excel. And is that what you were doing?
That's what how I started. Yeah. On the coding. So
yeah, so like that's a great learning opportunity actually, because that kind of allows you to record the code first.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
and then look at it. Yeah, and it's like, do I want to change this Excel cell to green? What's the condition for that? Yeah, I've so been there.
Yeah, my first job out of college, one of the things I had to do was to write macros, and that's why I did record, and then we just tweak and Google it, and
That's the same thing that I did, and it was just like, it wasn't, well, in my day, there was no Stack Overflow yet, so I had to read books, and I had to go to, like, forums, like, specific forums for each technology. Oh, yeah? Oh my God. These kids today, they have it so easy. ChatGPT is just like, write me some code, and it does. That's awesome though. So like as an entrepreneur, I know your busy life and work get pretty hectic. How do you find balance? This is something that I struggle with a whole lot, and so I like to ask fellow entrepreneurs, you know, because I could use this advice.
I mean, this is probably going to sound really trite, but you got to really set a schedule and you stick to it, right? I think one of the things that we all struggle with is you just feel like if you're not working, you're not doing anything productive, right? But you just got to be like, all right, I'm going to really accomplish these things during this time. If I finish it, then I get my day off on the week, like usually it's my weekend. And if I don't do it, then sure, it has to spill over, but this is what I need to do. So set priority. What I do is I set priorities, I set kind of agenda, and I stick to it. If I finish it, I'm going to feel really good about just enjoying my weekend. I don't think about it. And also, speak of work-life balance, my partner and I are actually expecting a baby soon this summer.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. So we kind of really started talking about like shifts. Like I'm still going to work through kind of my maternity leave anyway. And I'm also really lucky that he gets a lot of family leave on his side from his job. So then it's a lot of like, and then we're starting to figure out like what shifts I need to be able to do. And when I'm doing, if I'm not working, then, or if I need to focus on the baby, I'm going to focus on the baby. And if I'm working, I'm going to be working. Just to make sure we're focused and we set a schedule and stick to it.
Yeah.
Ask me in a few months how that's going. That's
exactly. I think it may be hard at first, but it's possible. You can absolutely have it all.
Which all right. Of that. Again, ask me in a few months.
That's funny. Yeah. You know, I struggle with, I prioritize things. I make a list. I do not stick to it. I don't know why. It's just stuff comes up. I have a thought and I just kind of go off the rails and do something else that maybe was not a priority, but it was still like important, you know? And I think, a lot of people struggle with, just managing scope creep, stuff like that, managing like what comes at you every single day. How do you avoid this pitfall that I'm in?
I think that's almost my motivation. So like this past weekend, there are a few things that I wanted to do, like see friends and like go do some baby shopping stuff. So like during the week, I got to remind myself like, all right, you want to do these things. Forget whether it's important or priority or urgent. You want to do these things on the weekend. So you got to finish all these things during the week on doggy day stuff. So I was like, all right, I just got to power through this and do it so I don't have to worry about work on the weekends.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic advice. Like I really think that my 20 years in like corporate tech type stuff, I sort of had it ingrained in me that I had to work every day because I was always on call and, you know, stuff like that. But that really hasn't been true for many years. So I need to like unravel myself from that kind of, you know, not having any boundaries, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, the boundaries, right? Like, now it's definitely a mindset change when you're only answering to yourself. Like, you don't have a boss who calls you up, like, where are you, right? Yeah. Or, like, where's your work?
Exactly, yeah. That's why entrepreneurs, you know, like, it's hard. I was actually reading, like, a post on Instagram or something like that where, you know, if you have like a stable job, I don't know why people still call it that, because, you know, it's not stable. There's no stability anywhere. But it was like you freak out over savings and, you know, have to make sure that you have months and months of savings. Entrepreneurs are like, I need 3 months, 3 to 6. Is good. That's pretty much where I'm at right now. Yeah.
I mean, aren't entrepreneurs by nature just a bit more of a risk taker?
Totally.
I mean, yeah. It is.
Yeah. So absolutely.
And then you figure out how to swim.
Sure. Yeah. The number one question I have from just anybody is, you know, how did you leave corporate life? How did you leave that stability? And I'm always just like, well, it wasn't stable, so there's that. You know,
especially these days, right? Like, yeah, all the tech job layoffs.
Absolutely. Like, oh my god, so many layoffs. I know people that worked at, you know, Microsoft and stuff like that for like 16 years and they just got an email one day like, you're not part of Microsoft anymore. Sorry.
Email.
That's awful. I know, right? Email is just the worst. That's not how to do it.
I guess at least it's not like over Zoomed to a big group.
That's like, even worse. I mean, it's got to be one-on-one.
It's not fun. It was not a funny situation.
Yeah, totally. Like I've worked at two startup agencies, right? And the second one, I don't know why I didn't leave, but like executives were leaving, team leads were leaving, and I stayed. And then one day the owner of the company had an emergency meeting and I was sitting there thinking, I'll bet they can't pay us. And that was exactly what happened. They couldn't pay us. Yeah. And, you know, promised us like half if we stayed or something like that. And I still stayed. Okay. What is wrong with me? I was like,
how did it turn out for you then?
Oh, like I was paid, but not all of it. Yeah. But I stayed until the very last day of operation at that place. Wow. Don't ever do that. Anyone that's listening, just go. Just find yourself another job. Because that was just not worth the mental strain overall, yeah. I think. Yeah. Anyway.
It's a trade-off, right? I think, obviously, I have no stability in my professional
life. Yeah, same.
I feel like my mental health is so much better because I know I'm in control of mm-hmm. what I do. Like, if I succeed, it's because of the work I put in,
yeah.
right? And also, if I fail, it's because of me and I can't blame anyone else.
That's right. Yeah. That's
which my motivation, too. If yeah. I fail, it's because I failed.
Right. Which is kind of like, it's good and bad, right? Because when you fail because you just weren't set up for success, like that isn't as much of a sting, I guess. Well, I mean, it still isn't great.
Because of how the failure unfolds.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've had plenty of that. Like a job where I was hired by a specific person to do a specific job. I got there on my first day and he had quit. And then they didn't use me for what I was hired for. And then I was fired. So great.
I don't know. I feel like, at least for me, I feel like being in control of my work and how it progresses, my career progresses, feels so comforting to me. Even if they're obviously, like I said, other trade-off, there's no stability and there's no regular paycheck coming in.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the paying yourself part. I pay myself quarterly. I find that works out with my payments through online courses and all of that stuff that I do. But yeah, paying yourself, trying to decide how much to pay yourself, I think is my largest struggle.
I don't think I'm quite there yet to pay myself regularly, but also I still feel a bit weird paying myself when I feel like I could reinvest back into my business. So that's always a fine line, I suppose.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then on top of that, it's just what do I spend my money on? Do I treat myself this month on a handbag or something like that? Or do I want to wait for some more clients and all of that? That's relatable. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how has your experience been as a female founder?
It's a bit hard for me to say, but so far I feel most connected to other women in the startups ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because I generally gravitate towards other women because there are more things that we can relate to together, or that maybe they're more willing to talk or to help. But actually a lot of my contacts are women. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. Again, that's just my personal experience. There are some men who are very helpful to me also, I gotta say. But really the majority, my mentor is a woman, a lot of the intros I got were through my female contacts and stuff like that.
Yeah. So if you're hiring staff or talking to clients, is your experience good? Is it tense? Is it kind of what is this guy saying to me?
That's actually a good question. So on the hiring side, everybody who ever worked on Doggy Day with me are women.
Oh.
I don't know. I have a suspicion, but I don't know that that's true. I feel like it's easier for a woman to view another woman as a superior than for a man to view another woman as a superior, yes, without certain structure in place or certain hierarchy in place already.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe that's one thing that I feel like being a woman, a female founder, might be more of an uphill battle than if I were a heterosexual white male.
Right. Founder. Yeah, exactly.
Because people see you or see men naturally as leaders already, whereas women right. gotta put up a certain front or maybe like do things a certain way for men and women to see them as natural leaders.
Yeah. I think that we have to be assertive enough, but not aggressive, you know, like that's kind of hard to, you know, toe that line. But then I think that we're also expected to be nice to everybody all of the time. And I'm certainly not. You don't deserve me to be nice to you. Then I'm not. Like, I'm not outwardly mean, but I'm mm-hmm. also not, you know, like, please, you know what you want. Yeah. Please and thank you and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. Not everybody deserves that, I think.
But yes, I mean, so far I've only really hired or worked with mm-hmm. other women.
Yeah.
Which I've no problem with. I'm mm-hmm. not even talking about I'm not even talking about like promoting diversity, which is obviously important.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking it's just maybe an easier fit if, because more women are also animal lovers, I think.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I've had an eclectic, I think, hiring process. I kind of look for people who don't have that standard experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I really want people who have tried some things and are, you know, like me, I guess, which is also a part of unconscious bias or attribution, I think is what that one's called, where you seek out people who are just like you. Yeah,
that's interesting. I think now I'm wondering, do I gravitate towards people who are like me?
Everybody does. Yeah, absolutely. It's human nature. Yeah, I think the hard part comes when you start to hire people who aren't like you, which is also important for collaboration and, you know, new ideas and all of that stuff. But like, I just had a situation where I had this employee, I tried for months and months with him, but I think culturally he just was not respectful of women. And so I just let him go. You know, I don't need to be mansplained to by one of my employees.
And how did you find hiring people with the kind of various experience or backgrounds that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Some are great. Some need a little bit more handholding and coaching, right? But I think overall, what I really look for are people whose core values are in line, you know, with mine, but then also the ability to learn quickly and learn on the job. Like I would have totally hired you. You know, you just took it upon yourself to learn PHP. That's an amazing quality that I would absolutely, you know, look for in any employee, I think.
Because that's one thing I kind of think about during my hiring process. So I'm looking for an intern, a college intern. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have I don't really care about what they major in or even their previous experiences, right? Because it is an entry-level job. Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking, at what point do I need some sort of relevant experience? Because so one thing I like help with is on growth marketing, mm-hmm. or social media marketing, which I don't have a lot of experience in. So, wait, why that face?
Because that's what I do.
Oh, I see.
It's growth marketing. So, yeah. we'll talk about that later.
But anyway, so I was like, at some point, like, I can't really mentor you. Or I can't really direct right. where, what you should be doing if mm-hmm. I don't know myself.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So that's kind of a fine balance. I do want to hire somebody who's bright, who's smart, a self-starter, like all of that. But at what point also do I need some relevant experience?
Yeah. I think it's important to have a well-rounded team. While juniors are super cheap, right? Mm-hmm. They don't always have experience and often, you know, have to have some training and all of that. If you pair them with an experienced person on your team, then you don't have to do that mentoring and training, you know, because your job is running the company. Eventually, mm-hmm. you won't have time to handle every single employee. You know, because I like to think way in the future, like 10 years ahead. I'm always ahead of myself. So, but yeah, that would be my advice on that.
Yeah, something to think about.
Exactly. Yeah. So speaking of advice, what advice do you have for anyone who wants to become an entrepreneur?
I feel like I'm still in the midst of it. So, but my, what I would say to myself maybe a year ago, two years ago is just do it. Just, it might sound like it's a huge mountain to climb, but start with bits that you can do. So for me, I would say, when I first started building out Doggy Day, I'm talking about like just even looking for a website, thinking of a name for what now becomes Doggy Day, like just do it. Like don't maybe just do it as in obviously just pick up a piece of paper or turn on your computer and just do it. But also don't think too much about it.
Yeah.
I think one thing I would have done differently is not spend so much time designing a website. Just kind of put a few things on there and call it a day. I think I spent maybe months just coming up with like this whole UX thing,
oh my
this
gosh.
Journey map, which is,
yeah, that's a lot. I am not an artiste, so every website I have, which is what, 4 at this point, I have used a template, a pre-made template, and just, you know, customized it a little bit, but I wasn't about to, like, you know, pop open Figma and create a whole thing.
I use Figma because also my husband works in UX UI.
Oh, so lucky you.
No, it wasn't. Oh. He has this lecture on like what I should be doing, all these things I need to tweak and like all this framework I should follow. So I was like, oh, this is all these things I need to be doing. No, I don't need to.
Yeah. It's hard. Let's talk about naming your business. That was something that you brought up. Oh my gosh. Like, naming a business for me was a lot harder than even naming a character in a video game, which is something else that I'll sit and look at the screen for like an hour before I choose a name. How did you choose your name?
I want it to be something where you can say it in a sentence.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly, but I remember that was one of Hershey. So you can just say, oh, have a doggy day. Then it becomes I don't want to say a verb, but it will become a thing you can say out loud. So it's more or less like you can Uber it.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So doggy days also sound like a doggy day out. I'm not gonna lie, there are days when I'm still like, is this a good name? Mm-hmm. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's catchy, absolutely. Okay. And from like a branding perspective, you know, I'll give you some free advice here. But yeah, it's positioned really well. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. You hear it and know that, like, you know, this app has to do with happy dogs, you know, taking care of dogs. Yeah, is how I interpreted it anyway. Yeah.
Thanks for reassuring. I don't know. Sometimes I still think about the name. Like, but again, I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, same. I'm like, Hofstech, that came out of, you know, it's my last name and tech. So that's what that was. But I started it in 2015. I had people vote on the name. I had like a whole list of them. Yeah. And it was like overwhelmingly Hofstech was the one. Yeah. And then in 2021, when I came up with the podcast name, I was sitting at home, I was reading something, it just popped into my head, Tiaras and Tech. And I checked all over the internet, I checked all over social media, this handle wasn't taken. I made accounts right then. I was like, this is it. So sometimes it's more inspiration. And it's just like, you know, that's the name.
And that's a great example of just do it, right? Like, you thought of it, just go ahead and take the handle, or the social media handle, or whatever.
Sometimes I do that too much. Like a couple years ago, I decided to stream on Twitch, and that was fun for a while. But it got really hard once I got monetized, then it was more of a job, and I was just kind of like, I don't know about this. And then perverts in my stream and stuff like that, I was just like, nah, not gonna do that.
That's another thing too, right? You just gotta try out different things, right? Like, I can't tell you how many things I've tried and fail spectacular.
Yes, I love that idea of failing spectacularly. That is such a great way to put it, because you learn so much more from failure than you do from success.
Yeah, so there are things I don't do anymore, like such as spending months designing a website that no one goes to in the beginning.
Yeah, it is hard to start out, because you're generally screaming into the void and trying to get noticed.
Yeah, the void. Yeah, I was in the void for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because there's so much competition. Oh, my gosh. And like, social media changes all of the time. And it's hard to keep up with like the trends and what kind of content should I post, you know, all of that stuff. I understand.
And also my background is in kind of business strategy and product.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I know nothing about marketing, and hence I was in the void for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I started caring about content when I started to do online courses, because, like, I had to promote them some way, you know? Like, they're not going to sell themselves. So, yeah, it was this journey of learning every social media platform and just all kinds of stuff. I'm pretty proud that I have that down now. On Instagram, I started posting in like March, you know, and I've gotten over 2,500 followers since then. So,
all right, I'm gonna have to pick your brain out.
I get it. It's hard. It's this combination of, you know, good targeted content, but then also you got to talk to people. There's an audience there that you have to connect with, which is what most people don't have time for. That one's tricky, I would say, for any founder.
I feel like every aspect of building a business is a full-time job. Like,
oh yeah,
obviously the product side and technical development side is definitely a full-time, more than a full-time job, and the marketing side is also, again, more than a full-time job, and
totally
everything else in between, the hiring, the fundraising.
Oh, I didn't even think about the fundraising. I haven't done that like in the traditional way, because I'm an agency, right? So like that's not really appropriate, I guess. I don't know. So I've done like loans and zero interest credit cards, people. If you want to start a business and you don't have any money, but you have a good plan and a plan to pay it off eventually, zero interest credit cards are fantastic for that. Yeah. But
that makes sense. So.
Yeah. I haven't had that experience of having to like present an app to, you know, investors, or like a Kickstarter actually is also something that I would like to do. But again, I don't really have any purpose right now for that kind of thing.
Probably a good position to be in that you don't need funds.
I mean, everybody needs funds. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it's also like that struggle of how much funds do I need? How much can I pay myself? And how can I make sure I'm not paying myself out of the funds? You know, like that. Yeah. It's a lot. Well, anyway, this is always the saddest part of every episode, the end. But before I let you go, can you tell people where to connect with you online and promote yourself?
Yeah, so you can find Doggy Day on our website is Doggy Day with a Y, doggyday.co. You can also find us on Instagram, which is also doggyday.co. I am also reachable on LinkedIn or Twitter. My Twitter handle is Phoebe LYUNG.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I will have links to all of that in the show notes / description. Phoebe, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
I know. Happy to chat, and thanks for having me.
If you want to support us, please like, subscribe, and share this episode with your fellow gems. Let me know in the comments what other topics you would like me to cover, and follow TRs in Tech on social media and use the hashtag #MakeYourselfShine. Thanks for watching or listening, and have a great day.